This is an ABC podcast.
It's no secret that all the way up to the 2016 election, Donald Trump was keen to set up a meeting with the Russian president, Vladimir Putin. And 28-year-old foreign policy advisor George Papadopoulos had a plan to make it happen.
Donald Trump was interested in having some sort of geopolitical relationship with Russia.
The key to organizing the meeting was a man in London.
London's a great town. I lived there for 4 years, so I knew the city very well.
In early 2016, George Papadopoulos had met a Maltese academic in Rome who said he had high-level connections to Russia.
I thought he was some person trying to, big up himself, as they say.
They met at a London hotel.
In a lobby similar to where I'm sitting right now.
The professor wasn't promising a meeting with Putin anymore. He was promising something else.
He drops this information in a packed hall that the Russians have Hillary Clinton's emails.
What Papadopoulos would do with that information would lead him into a jail cell and trigger a criminal and counterintelligence investigation into the President of the United States. I'm Matt Bevan, and this is Russia If You're Listening, a podcast about the findings and the fallout from the Mueller report. Today, we're going right back to the night that started it all, when an ambitious foreign policy nerd called George Papadopoulos...
Hello.
Hello, George, we've got you.
Hi.
...met a high-level Australian diplomat. Hi, Alexander.
Hello.
...and allegedly told him about Russian dirt on Hillary Clinton. This conversation was the start of the so-called witch hunt that's haunted President Trump for the last 2 years. So grab yourself a drink, pull up a chair, because we've spoken to both of them to find out what really happened at the Kensington Wine Rooms. That's today on Russia If You're Listening. Papadopoulos spent most of April and May 2016 mingling and networking his way through London embassies, when one day he got a call from the office of former Australian Foreign Minister and High Commissioner to the UK, Alexander Downer.
We heard about him, his existence at Australia House through another embassy, through the Israeli embassy. It was suggested by one of the diplomats at the Israeli embassy that we might be interested in meeting him because he was on the Trump campaign and professed to be a Trump foreign policy advisor. So just arranged to have a drink with him on the way home one evening. We being me and one of the officials who worked in Australia House at the time.
That official, a woman on Downer's team called Erica Thompson, sent Papadopoulos the invite.
Can you meet Alexander Downer? He wants to talk with you. I had no idea what he wanted to talk about, and quite frankly, an invite by an ambassador is very peculiar.
Papadopoulos accepted the meeting for an after-work drink at 6 o'clock.
And, it's May in London, it was raining.
Papadopoulos made his way to a fancy bar called the Kensington Wine Rooms.
It wasn't too far from my apartment in Bayswater.
He arrived and took a seat on one of the plush red leather booths opposite an exposed brick wall. Australia's top diplomat in the UK, Alexander Downer, got there shortly after.
The New York Times claimed that it was an alcohol-fueled evening. In the fake world of Twitter, in the imaginary land that people on the Twitter sphere live, there are suggestions that we were all rolling drunk or that I had very cunningly got Papadopoulos drunk. Impossible.
According to both Downer and Papadopoulos, there was no wine at all drunk at the wine rooms that night.
I get down there and I wasn't too impressed with the wine.
The wine list contains 150 different wines from around the world.
I ordered a gin and tonic, so... and I think Downer himself ordered the same thing.
We definitely all had a gin and tonic, but that was it.
They might agree on the gin and tonic, but after that, their recollections of the night start to take on a different flavour. According to Papadopoulos, everything started to go downhill fast when Downer brought up British Prime Minister David Cameron, who had recently made some harsh comments about Donald Trump.
I think his remarks are divisive, stupid and wrong.
George Papadopoulos had retaliated in an interview with the Times of London. The headline read, Cameron should say sorry to Trump or risk special relationship.
It was a sensationalised headline, nevertheless it was published. It was publicised and it probably created a storm all around the world.
If my memory serves me well, I think we did talk a little bit about Cameron. My advice to him, I think, was he should go easy on criticizing David Cameron.
Within probably 30 seconds of me sitting down, he's basically attacking me, telling me that his good friend David Cameron should be left alone and that my boss, Donald Trump, should leave him alone. So you could understand that this was, we started off on the wrong foot.
So Papadopoulos wasn't happy at all with how this was going. And it didn't improve when Downer started looking at his phone.
As I explained to Bob Mueller, the FBI, and even Congress, Alexander Downer pulls out his phone, and what I believe he was doing was spying on me, to the extent that I was so disturbed that I reported him to the FBI and Bob Mueller and Congress, and to the Trump team, and that's why there's a big diplomatic crisis brewing right now between our two countries.
No, I wasn't recording him. I wouldn't, as a diplomat, record meetings that I had with people. That would be very unprofessional. If I was playing with my phone during the meeting, it would have been because I was checking my SMS messages and my emails, which I don't think you should do during a meeting, but occasionally I do.
It's the curse of the modern age.
It is a curse of the modern age, yes.
George Papadopoulos says Alexander Downer was intimidating, inappropriate, and rude.
I'm having a very unpleasant meeting with a bizarre diplomat, and I'm having one drink with him, and I can't wait to leave this meeting, okay? So that was the context.
Was perfectly friendly, yeah. There was nothing untoward about it at all. He seemed a nice enough guy. He was perfectly friendly. We had a bit of a discussion about oil and gas in the Eastern Mediterranean, which is, I think, the interest the Israelis had in him.
Papadopoulos has some interesting ideas about the politics of oil and gas in the Eastern Mediterranean. He essentially wants to change the way the US's alliances work to bring Israel, Cyprus, Greece, and Egypt closer together and be less friendly with Turkey.
So he begins to tell me, George, you know that I used to be some sort of UN envoy to Cyprus. He said, well, what you're advising the campaign and Trump on is dangerous. About Cyprus, about Turkey. Turkey's an important ally. You shouldn't isolate them. And I told him, well, actually, that we are probably going to be isolating them because they're not really an ally anymore. And he became very belligerent, as if I was there being interrogated and profiled by an intelligence officer. And that's exactly what I left that meeting thinking.
There are things about that meeting that Alexander Downer and George Papadopoulos agree on. Like, they agree that they both had a single gin and tonic. And they both say the meeting lasted about an hour.
1 hour is plenty of time to give someone in a meeting. I wouldn't call that a short meeting. It was 1 hour.
They agree they spoke about Barack Obama. He claims in his book that you told him you are very pro-Clinton and that you do not like Barack Obama. Is that accurate?
That I didn't. I mean, I never met Barack Obama. That's not literally true. I've shaken hands with Barack Obama. So I don't have an opinion of Barack Obama as a personality, although he's obviously very clever and very articulate. He was quite a poor president. He was a very disappointing president. I mean, I can't remember saying it, but I could have said it.
But there's one very big thing the two disagree on. What was or wasn't said about Russian dirt on Hillary Clinton.
Towards the end of the conversation, when I asked him whether he thought Donald Trump would be able to defeat Hillary Clinton in the general election, and he said he was confident he could. And he said one of the reasons was that the Russians might release some information which could be damaging to Hillary Clinton.
This is a pivotal moment in modern American history. This part of the meeting was the trigger for the largest criminal investigation into a president in a generation. But whether it happened at all is disputed.
I have absolutely no memory of ever talking to him about that. I've explained the same exact thing to the FBI, to Mueller, to Congress itself.
Downer is certain Papadopoulos said it. Papadopoulos is just as certain that he can't remember. But who is right? Well, 2 weeks later, Papadopoulos told the Greek foreign minister that the Russians had Hillary Clinton's emails. You say that you don't remember telling Alexander Downer about the Russian emails, but is it possible that you did and cannot remember doing it? Because you mentioned doing it, telling the Greek foreign minister something very similar soon afterwards. Is it possible that you did just forget telling Alexander Downer about it?
I don't think so. And like I said, I told the FBI, Mueller, Congress, this is all before that story came out, by the way, that I told the Greek foreign minister. So you have to understand, there's no, there's nothing illegal about having spreading rumors, okay? So there's no reason for me to be hiding it if I really did tell him that. I never did tell him that. That's the point.
He knew what he can't remember telling me, and he admits he knew that, but he says he can't remember telling me, but he can remember telling the Greek foreign minister. I mean, seriously, honestly, the guy needs to get his story better together, I think, than this.
Being a good diplomat, Alexander Downer promptly told government officials in Canberra exactly what he says Papadopoulos had told him. And that was the last he thought about it at all, until reports started emerging that the Russians really did have damaging information on Hillary Clinton, and they were starting to release it.
CNBC has confirmed an earlier story by the Washington Post that the Russian government and hackers penetrated the computer network of the Democratic National Committee and gained access to the entire database.
Once that news about the emails broke, officials in Canberra realised how important that comment in the wine rooms months earlier might have been. They told their counterparts in the FBI, who began to investigate. Within a few months, the FBI started probing Papadopoulos and another Trump foreign policy adviser, Carter Page, to see whether they had some connection to Russia. The FBI even sent undercover agents to ask the men a few questions. In the end, Papadopoulos was pulled into the FBI headquarters and interviewed. He misled them about the timeline of his meetings and ended up briefly in jail.
The judge sentenced George Papadopoulos to 14 days in prison. He is also facing a fine. This coming after Papadopoulos expressed some regret for lying to investigators, and his attorney in court cast his client as a naive fool.
That FBI investigation eventually turned into Special Counsel Robert Mueller's investigation into Russian interference in the US election. At least that's how Mueller's report says it all came about. But George Papadopoulos has a different explanation for all of it. So let's follow George down the rabbit hole.
Downer probably was sent to spy on me rather than him being some sort of spark that lit the match.
Papadopoulos thinks this entire thing was a setup, from Professor Joseph Mifsud to Downer to the FBI. He thinks Mifsud had nothing to do with Russia and was actually working for the West.
A Swiss lawyer who's representing him now has stated on CNN and other channels that this was no Russian agent. He was a Western intelligence operative, and he was under the guidance of the FBI when he was meeting with Papadopoulos. So these are the facts.
But the Mueller report has extensive details of Mifsud's contacts with Russia, suggesting that he really did know what he was talking about. This part of the report is heavily redacted, but the bits we can read show that Mifsud was in contact with someone who worked at the St. Petersburg troll farm and an employee of the Russian Defense Ministry. But Papadopoulos doesn't believe that story. He thinks Mifsud was a Western agent working together with Downer, the FBI and others to trigger a massive investigation into Trump. Why would Alexander Downer get involved in what you say is a conspiracy to begin a probe into the Trump campaign?
First of all, it's not just me saying it anymore. The president himself is saying it, okay? So this isn't a conspiracy at this point. And the president of the United States is privy to classified information that neither I or you or others have. And he's calling it a conspiracy and a coup against him. So that's what the president is saying, okay? I am just giving firsthand information of the bizarre meetings I had. And reading between the lines, even in my congressional testimony, you could see that Congress itself understands that there are recordings of my meeting with Alexander Downer.
I suppose, if logically, if I did record it, I'd have a copy of the recording. So everything he said would be on the record. But no, we didn't have a recording of it.
If there are recordings, which I believe there are, and Congress pretty much alluded to that fact, that would suggest that Alexander Downer was indeed wiretapping or spying or recording a conversation with an American overseas who was part of a presidential campaign aligned against Obama and Clinton.
The reason Alexander Downer would be involved in a plot against Trump? Well, according to Papadopoulos, it all goes back to Trump's enemies, the Clintons.
Alexander Downer obviously has a long history with Hillary and Bill Clinton. He donated, while I think he was the Australian foreign minister, $25 million to the Clinton Foundation.
I didn't make a donation. I didn't make a donation. I was the foreign minister. And AusAid entered into a contract with the Clinton Foundation to distribute antiretrovirals to Papua New Guinea. And Bill Clinton and I signed the agreement. That was a contract which was entered into by AusAid. I didn't instruct the contract. I was just the minister who did the signing ceremony, in all honesty.
George Papadopoulos isn't alone in making these allegations. The Republican Party is also unhappy about Alexander Downer's role in all this. Their aim is to discredit Downer so they can discredit the entire Mueller report.
I hope they now go and take a look at the oranges of the investigation, the beginnings of that investigation.
Papadopoulos, Trump, and some other Republicans have a theory about the oranges of Mueller's investigation. They believe there is an organised group of civil servants and intelligence officers who secretly manipulate the workings of the US government. They call it the Deep State, and Papadopoulos has written about it in his book, Deep State Target. According to the book, the Deep State has had it in for Trump since before he was elected. And Papadopoulos was targeted because he was inexperienced.
And he was probably an easy target to set up precisely because he hadn't had this experience in the arena in the past. The setup narrative is very credible if you look at the evidence here, Martha. It's very suspicious, his interactions.
For his part, Downer says the idea that he was part of some grand conspiracy is impossible.
This sort of idea that there is a kind of ASIS, ASIO, MI6, MI5, FBI, CIA... Ukrainian government or something like that. I can't remember all the countries that are meant to be involved. Some conspiracy to bring down the Trump administration, that this is treason, that I should be in Guantanamo Bay. I mean, it's a little bit sad that people take that kind of thought seriously and aren't a bit more knowledgeable and forensic. But, you know, it is as it is. It's just the way of the modern world, I'm afraid.
Alexander Downer says he was just doing his duty.
If people tell me things like that, which I think are damaging to Western security interests, particularly to the security interests of the Five Eyes countries, expect me, Alexander Downer, former Foreign Minister of Australia, to be supporting Western interests against Russian intelligence. You can count on me.
So there's two possible explanations here. One, a global deep state apparatus, fearful of Donald Trump, sent an operative to tell George Papadopoulos that the Russians had something on Clinton. Then they sent Downer to meet with Papadopoulos and lie about what he'd heard to the FBI. All this in order to trigger the Mueller inquiry.
Matt, the last thing I would have ever wanted to do is write a book on the deep state, okay? I was enjoying my life. I had worked on two successful presidential campaigns. I was 29 years old, and I was enjoying my summer on the Greek islands with my then-girlfriend before I got sucked into this. So the last thing I ever wanted to really do was believe that this was true.
Or the second explanation. Professor Mifsud heard from a Russian contact that there was dirt. He told Papadopoulos, who told Downer, who told Canberra, who did what Papadopoulos should have done, and told the FBI. You can decide which story you think is more likely.
The question is, why were the Russians doing this and how inappropriate it was that they were doing this? And secondly, they'd obviously told somebody, whether it was this Professor Mifsud or that I don't know. And I've not read the Mueller report, by the way. But why they told somebody about it, I don't know. And why this Professor Mifsud told Papadopoulos, and Papadopoulos then blew the whistle on it all. Inadvertently, I don't know. Yeah, I guess so. He may as well have been working for Russian intelligence. Honestly, I just don't know what the guy thought he was doing. But anyway, I'm sure he wasn't working for Russian intelligence. But it's intelligence might not be the best word to use in relation to what he did.
Alexander Downer, I really appreciate you talking to me about this. It's been a very enjoyable conversation, and thanks for clearing up, answering so many of my questions.
It's a pleasure.
Right. Russia, If You're Listening is produced by Ruby Jones and Will Ockenden. Full versions of my interviews with Alexander Downer and George Papadopoulos are available on our website. This is the last episode of Season 2. I hope you've enjoyed it. It has been a blast making it for you. We are taking a short break to put together Season 3. Here's what to expect.
Criminal investigation for donations made during the Brexit referendum.
The 2016 US election meddling was just one aspect of Vladimir Putin's grand plan.
So I have a very simple message for Russia. We know what you are doing, and you will not succeed.
It's a plan that's been in motion for almost 6 years.
Breaking news this afternoon, a Malaysian Airlines plane has crashed while flying over the eastern region of Ukraine today.
In Season 3, we will zoom out.
If you poke the Russian bear with a stick, don't be surprised when he reacts.
And look at all the areas of Western society Putin is trying to influence.
Russia and the Assad regime are deliberately weaponizing migration.
That's next season on Russia If You're Listening.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. You can discover more ABC podcasts, live radio, and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.